podcast, and this is like a landmark Create podcast.
It really is. We're on location.
We are on location in my very own apartment. Please know we are now recording this podcast surrounded by butterflies.
We really are. And we have a little squirrel hiding out with us today, just visiting, a gentleman by the name of Tony Lepage.
Tony Lepage is in the house!
He's hanging out here, so you may hear from him later, or he may just be holding space. We'll see what happens.
Anything could happen on the Create podcast.
Anything can happen.
So we are actually, this is a morning after podcast. last night we had Create, and we talked about worthiness, or really we talked about like taking off the costume of unworthiness. And afterwards, Natalie and I had a vision. We said, let's do a morning after podcast. So we might be endlessly perky this morning.
And if you can only imagine how cute we both look, because we just finished a spin class. And so we have cute little sweaty ponytails mm-hmm. and lots of coffee.
So be ready for the caffeinated podcast.
So when we were talking last week about what we wanted to speak about this week, there was actually a member of our community named Evan. Shout out to Evan.
Hey, Evan.
Who created this amazing post mm-hmm. after Create last week. And he was saying that with superheroes, all superheroes, how did he describe it?
Well, he was saying that it's not that Clark Kent found out that he was Superman.
Yes.
That Superman was his true identity. He was born Superman. He came to the planet as Superman, and then Clark Kent was
his
disguise. So that nerdy, shy, humble reporter was just a shell, but underneath he was Superman. That was his true identity. So what you and I started talking about proposing was, what if greatness is our true identity? What if sublime worthiness is our true identity? And at some point in our life, we put on the costume of unworthiness, and maybe it got handed to us at some point in our life. Maybe someone in elementary school told us that we weren't that pretty. And so then that idea of not pretty enough became a costume we put on. Or maybe a teacher told us we weren't talented enough. Like last night, a girl from our community shared, one of her teachers told her that she wasn't funny.
And she's so funny.
She's the funniest. She was like born to be like
Shout out to Jess.
Like a Lucille Ball-like
yes,
comedian, right?
Totally.
She has like this innate gift. But because someone told her not to be funny, mm-hmm. she talked about having to come back and reclaim that in her life.
Yeah.
So, you know, we talked about the whole conversation of unworthiness being like, perhaps unworthiness is this costume that we've put on at some point, an idea. And at any point, we can take off that costume, we can remove that idea of unworthiness to find and be inside our innate worthiness and greatness.
I think what was so interesting last night is we happened to have an 8-year-old with us at Create last night named Asher. She's this awesome little actress who has been involved in the community, and she came to Create for the first time. And we asked her in front of the group, you know, what do you love about being an actress? And she answered, I love seeing myself on TV. And it was the most amazing moment because everyone laughed, but then we all went, oh yeah, us too. That's 100% the confidence and the love and the like, self-acceptance that we all started with. And then at some point we started getting like, am I allowed to say that out loud? Am I allowed to feel that? No, I have to really make it about it's this artistic thing or it's this other thing. And it's such an amazing question to say, when in each of us did we decide we weren't allowed to feel that way or say it out loud anymore?
That's right.
Because that really is our true nature. It really is when we were little kids. I mean, I joke about the home movie that we have, where my dad is like looking at me in the camera. We had just finished this home movie, and he said, you're very beautiful, you know. And I said, I know. Can I watch myself now? Like, over it.
I love it.
I don't even
you're
need
so
you to
sure.
tell me.
You're
I
so
just
sure
know
of it.
Right?
It's like
nowadays it would be like, oh my gosh, please tell me. So at some point it switches inside of us, but it's not authentic that it switches.
It's like that thing of you know what Asher was saying is, I like to shine, and I like to watch myself shine.
Yeah.
I have, like, a similar story of you, of, like, your home movie. All the pictures of me when I'm a little girl, I'm totally posing like I'm a supermodel. I mean, it's just me in my, like, rainbow bathing suit with, like, one hand on my head and one hand on my hip with all my stuffed animals.
Yes.
Like, I really think I have it. Yes. And but it, there was this, there's an innate confidence that we come to the planet with.
Yes.
And I sometimes wonder if that confidence becomes overpowering for people.
Yeah.
Do you know, like, gosh, it was just the other day I was in the bathroom at a Barnes & Noble, and I was listening to a mom yell at her child in the bathroom stall, and I could tell it was because her child had a strong will, had a strong sense of confidence, and this is what I want to do.
Mm.
And, like, it was almost like, I'm going to beat what you want to do out of you, right? So at some point in our growing up, do we have this sense of, I'm confident, I'm here to shine, I have an inner direction, I know what I want to do, and it's so powerful that maybe sometimes the world wants to disempower us so that we follow.
And I think what's important in the conversation is to know that anyone, for the most part, who is in a position where they're disempowering us or saying it would be better to be this way than this way, in that moment, they're really trying to protect us. They're really not trying to do ill will to us. They're not saying, I'm going to tear this person's confidence away. They're really saying, I'm trying to protect them. I'm trying to make people like them. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to make everything okay. And what's amazing is I often think about really little kids. We have this will. It's like when our third chakra is developing, when we're in our, like, our terrible twos and three and that kind of age. And it's like we want to reach for the knife. It is our parents' job to say, no, don't touch that. You know, you can hold the teddy bear instead.
Yeah.
And we don't have that discernment yet. So it is their job to come in and say, do this, not this. This is right. This is wrong. But then what must happen is we must know that the story exists in that moment as it's meant to. But the next moment, it could be a different story. And so the only thing that we sort of do is, when that teacher told Jess she shouldn't be funny, you know, in that moment, that was his projection. That was him doing whatever he felt he needed to do to create structure in the classroom, to do whatever he was doing to try to protect himself and the space. And maybe in that one moment, that story needed to exist. And now, every moment after, that story doesn't need to exist. So it's really just our right, our birthright as creators, as human beings, as artists, to say that was a story in that moment and today's a whole new moment.
And that that person was only ever working out of the paradigm that they understood.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that another teacher may have had a classroom that said, humor is always great.
Right.
We're always allowed to express ourselves.
Right.
And that everyone's only ever acting underneath the paradigm that they understand. And there's this quote that I love from Ram Dass, and it says, your problem is you're too busy holding on to your unworthiness.
Mm-hmm.
So like you were saying, that that was a moment that actually we don't ever have to hold on to it anymore. And you said last night, and I love this, is what happens is when that we get that costume or that storyline, we start to identify with it.
Yeah.
And it becomes incorporated into us and part of our identity.
Yeah.
And so then we start to live it out. So if you were told in elementary school by a classmate that you're not that pretty, then you start to live out, I'm a girl that's not that pretty.
Yes.
Right? Or if you were maybe born into a family where you're told we don't have enough money, then that becomes our identity and you start living out that storyline.
Yeah.
So we just want to become conscious of the moment that we got handed that costume, and that no, that's not the truth of who we are, that our true self, as we talked about last night, the truck was just agreeing with us. Our true self is Superman.
Yes.
Our true self is that glowing, beautiful ball of light inside that is limitless and powerful.
And what if the naysayers and the people who want to tell us a different story are actually presented in our life as that moment when Superman decides, I'm going to be Superman now. You know, like it actually is the opportunity for us to see what we don't want to be, what isn't us, so we get to take a stand for really what is us. So rather than even feeling victimized mm-hmm. by these other stories and projections that we've had to live into, what if we can look at those things as, this is the moment where I can now see, I can't know what light is without darkness. Mm-hmm. So now I have the opportunity to really see, and then I get to step into my power to decide what story I want to tell for my life. And it's almost like every moment, every way you order your coffee, every step you take, every spin you take in class, you have that moment to say, who am I now? Who am I now? Who am I now? And when people try to tell you who you are, that's the most beautiful moment where you can reflect and say, is that true for me? And if it's not, then you get to decide.
Well, and we were talking about, you know, last night, not defining who we are by what the world says.
Mm.
That, like, the reason to have a morning practice and the reason to do a meditation practice is that so you can go inside on a consistent basis. And I think of going inside, like, remember when Superman, and I am not a comic book person, so Evan, please tell
Tony,
me where I get this right.
Wrong.
But I have this vision that in the Superman movies that he would, like, go and he would, like, talk to the elders. Wasn't there some sort of way he could, like, communicate back to his like, original planet?
Fortress of Solitude, I think.
Yeah, okay,
ooh,
so Fortress maybe. Of Solitude. Maybe
yes.
That was it. But Fortress of Solitude, I mean, that is meditation.
That is meditation.
Right? So it's like how Superman went and talked to the elders mm-hmm. to, like, get direction. That's what we do in meditation, right?
Mm.
We shut out the outer world to go inside to our original home
yeah.
and connect to our original superpowers. Now, when we go there enough on a consistent enough basis, then we get so clear in who we are and what our powers are that then we bring that truth to the world and we're no longer looking for the world to define us.
Yeah.
So if I become so anchored and so present in who I am, how powerful I am, what I am, then that becomes the internal, I want to say, the internal dialogue, the internal knowing, the internal confidence that cannot be swayed by the outer world.
Yes.
And something that you say all the time that I love is that when you know something, you're not affected if someone says the opposite.
That's exactly right. It's like if someone said to me, I don't really think you and Kristen are that good of friends, I don't buy it, then we'd be like, oh, that's funny.
Yeah. All
there
right.
There would be no weight in it.
You no drama.
If someone says to me, you know, Natalie, I really don't think you're a good actress, it would bring up that fear in myself that, is that really true? Oh, because there's a seed that I might actually believe that then all of a sudden the stakes feel really high, and then I feel all of a sudden like I need to defend.
Yes.
Against that comment, but really the place I need to defend it isn't with that person. It's an opportunity to say, what inside of me still doesn't believe in me? And so it's always that opportunity to look back in,
yeah.
which I think is really powerful and really healthy.
Yeah, to come in and be self-validating.
Yeah. It's almost like if we walk around the world with this costume of unworthiness,
yeah.
and we actually had people last night and draw pictures of, like, you know, this is, and it was so cute, you know, one of the members of our community, like, drew himself with, like, you know, the littlest head and the biggest body and the tiniest legs, and he just looked, like, so sad and nothing fit him, and you know, it was like such a wonderful expression of this sort of costume that isn't really the real him. But it's an amazing thing if we walk into an audition, if we walk into a meeting, if we walk into a relationship with that costume on, then we're really requesting people to kind of tear through that and see who we really are. But all that we do as humans is really learn to take each other at face value. It's like, if this is what you're showing me you are, then I'm going to believe you. And then I'm just going to reflect that back. So all of us are wearing these costumes and begging someone to see past it. But all that they can see is the costume.
Yeah.
And so it's our job to show up vulnerably and bravely as who we really are. So they have the opportunity to see us. And I think that we don't really want to do that because we're just scared that people won't like what they see. So it's easier to have people not like the costume because then we can say, well, that wasn't really
ooh,
me anyway.
Yes. And so when we get really anchored and spend more time in that authentic superpower, what we'll start to see is that is the light that people crave.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if we can start trusting that, I sometimes feel like what people are really hungry for is truth.
Yeah.
And what people are really attracted to, especially in art, yeah. is authenticity.
Yeah.
That we get lied to all day long.
Yeah.
So if you have an actor come in and be authentic, mm-hmm. or you have a writer write the truth down on the page, or you have a director that totally captures the essence and like the vulnerability of a moment, something in your soul goes, yes, 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 because we are all connected.
Yes.
And that's like when you have the confidence, or I want to say the trust, to say your truth out loud.
Yes.
Because it is the truth and it's connected to your soul, which is the same as another person's soul. When you say it out loud, something inside resonates because they know it's true.
One thing that's actually been really inspiring is watching Tony go through an amazing audition process the last year for this hit new show that he's now in called Come From Away.
Which will be the hit of the season, I'm predicting it.
But it's been amazing to watch. You know, Tony was in your Broadway show uh-huh. for several years and then had a period of just intense auditioning. And I would literally see him get down to finals, time and time and time again. And it wouldn't be this show. It wouldn't be this one. And it was an amazing process to see you work through, where there was actually never a moment where you defined yourself by any of that rejection.
No, that's true. Yeah, it's funny. It's funny as kind of, it's funny, as I was listening to you guys talking about this, I was thinking about just the word worth, and I think it's interesting because it's a I think the switch that you guys were talking about when you said that something happens from the child to the, you know, when you become an adult, is that I think what it generally is that it becomes more of a quantitative analysis instead of qualitative.
Mm-hmm.
So you start to define, like, what is your worth? Like, when people say, well, how much are you worth, or whatever it is, it's talking about how much you make, what kind of car you have,
mm-hmm.
you know, your house and all this stuff. But what it actually should be is about qualities, not quantities, type of thing. And so that was the interesting thing watching last night of these people when they were making their costume. They weren't building it from gold bricks. They were building it from emotions and all these wonderful things that they had, right, which is right. And I just think what's interesting is that when you think, and I was thinking about worth, and I thought, well, your worth gets taxed, right? And so your actual quantitative worth goes down because of all the taxing, I think. But that's what people do emotionally as well, is they get negative, so you get taxed by, you know, someone who gives you bad feedback on something and all this stuff. And I just go, but we have an opportunity to have, like, tax-free worth.
Yes.
If we just don't allow anybody to tax us in that way.
Yeah.
So I just kind of feel like I don't have time for it, mm-hmm. for me to somehow be defined by anybody else telling me what I've got and what I am and what I'm worth and all that kind of stuff. And so I just don't buy into it. I just don't.
Yeah.
That's right. And I loved what you were saying about we can do our worth tax-free, because we were talking about that, that going from unworthiness to worthiness is just a thought away.
Yeah.
And that's, we talk about that in our prosperity class, of going from scarcity to abundance, right, is just one thought away. And there's this great Wayne Dyer quote that says, self-worth comes from one thing, thinking you are worthy. So last night we did this exercise where people had, they drew this, you know, their costume of unworthiness. What does it look like? And there's this one guy who did a whole, like, heavy chains as his costume of unworthiness, weighing him down. And then we said, okay, if that is your disguise of unworthiness, if you take it off, who's the superhero that's underneath that?
Yeah.
And people had an opportunity to draw that. And I love when you referred to people drew their superpowers out of emotion, right?
Yes.
So it would be like their compassionate heart,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
or their cape of forgiveness, you know, it was all these kind of things that, like...
One share that was beautiful from Corey, actually, was saying that, you know, he's always felt in the industry that the way he looks would hold him back, but when he really drew his superhero, who he really wanted to be, nothing was aesthetic. It had nothing to do with what he looked like. And as a matter of fact, that's what he cared about the least.
Yes.
What he cared about was the kind of person he was, how he made people feel, the emotional qualities that he had. And that was what was really important.
Yeah, and also you're a good-looking dude, so you can forget about that, too.
Yeah, he is a good-looking
he
dude.
He is.
Yeah.
Oh, Corey does things to our hearts.
You know, Brené Brown talks so much about worthiness, and she says that there are no prerequisites for worthiness. It's as is.
Yeah.
And so many of us, we have this kind of running list in our head of things we think we have to do in order to be worthy. Yeah. So if I lose the 10 pounds, yep. then I'll be worthy. If I make X amount of money, then I'll be worthy. If I hit this in my career, then I'll be worthy. If I have an agent, then I'm worthy, right? So, so it's interesting to look at what is that thing that we have created in our mind that is keeping us from worthiness, and realize that we've actually just created something to keep us to be at arm's length away from our dreams, to keep our dream off into the future as opposed to right here
exactly.
right now.
Exactly, because I feel like the conversation of unworthiness is always just the conversation of not yet.
That's right.
But the conversation of worthiness is, yes, enough. Yes, I have what I need. Everything is perfect in this moment. If I need something else, it will be given to me. And I can trust that I will show up in the right rooms with the right skills at this right moment. And it's almost like the universe isn't personal. The universe responds to energy. So there's a reason why there's a word in yoga called ashmita. And that means when you have a distorted sense of self. And it says that we can be in ashmita from two places, egotism or insecurity, aka anytime we think we're better than or worse than anybody else.
Yeah.
And worthiness, whenever we are deciding if we are worthy or not, it's always just to compare and contrast. But here's the thing, you can compare and contrast yourself to your Facebook page, but it's not a true comparison. Like, all of your friends are probably in the industry. So, you know, if you looked at all the people in the whole world, you're probably doing pretty good. There's lots of people that, you know, are just trying to make it through the day. So it's not, it doesn't make sense to do any kind of compare and contrast in the outer world to determine our worthiness, because ultimately it's going to give us a distorted sense of self. If we want the truest sense of self, then we determine what our worthiness is, and then we just make it our practice to tell the world, this is who I am, this is who I am, this is who I am. And then we build up our superhero muscle of saying, and you can take it or leave it, because I know who I am.
That is it. And it's almost like if when we get into that practice of saying, this is who I am, this is who I am, this is who I am, and we do that often enough and on a consistent basis enough, then we find the world starts to reflect it back.
Yes.
But not until we're totally anchored in it that we can let it pass from us without reacting to it if we get a different story or reaction in the world. So we talked about even like as a practice, as own work, that you can look in the mirror before you leave your apartment in the morning
mm-hmm.
and tell yourself the superhero that you are. You can see that superhero shining back to you and then go, here I go. Now I'm bringing this to the world. And like with all of manifestation, we know that it is all already here right now. It's just we don't have the eyes to see it because
mm-hmm.
we're in the old story. So, like, I love when you said the conversation about worthiness. Like, unworthiness is really about not yet.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I'm considering myself unworthy so that it is not here yet, so
yes.
that I don't have it. So the moment I say that I'm worthy, I know that I am it, and I know that I have it. Then I can see it because I have come into an alignment with it.
And I think the reason that we don't do that is, oh, I can't remember the superhero. I think it's Spider-Man. You'll know, Tony.
yeah.
When they say, with great power comes great responsibility.
Ooh.
Superman? Yes. And it is that thing of, like, when our lives get bigger, guess what? We have bigger problems,
mm-hmm.
you know? So we are ready for it.
Yeah.
But our mind, our ego will want us to always stay small and stay in the same place. So it will always tell us, not quite yet, not quite yet. And it's really just a way that it's trying to protect us. And wouldn't the biggest superhero power of all be knowing that we are the protector, not the one that needs protection?
No.
That we are here on this earth to protect with our art, with our voices, with who we are, that we are here to, like, change those stories, to make sure that those kids don't hear that they shouldn't be funny, that's our job, is to take a stand and protect all those coming behind us with the kind of art and the kind of ideas and the kind of lives we live. And so we can protect people best by showing them you can make a lot of money doing what you love.
That's
so
right.
Then everyone underneath, everyone rising up can say, oh, can I do that too? Of course you can. That is our job as the superheroes that we are. That's why we're here.
That's why we're here.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're here to shine like that.
Shine like diamonds.
Shine bright like a diamond. That's what Rihanna says.
Yeah. Any final thoughts, anyone?
You know, the one thing I thought is a fun thing to mention is, like, last night I was saying when we started to work on this lecture for Unworthiness is Kerry Washington on Super Soul Sunday. Mm-hmm. And Oprah had asked her, what was the difference between you being, like, a struggling actress to you going, being, like, the lead on Scandal, number one on the call sheet? And she said that the difference was I just decided that I could be. Mm. Like, that I was worthy of it.
Yeah.
And there's this quote from her that I love. She says, I think for most of the beginning of my life, I was fighting the idea that I was not enough or that I had to be fixed. In the beginning of my career, I was often told that I had to fix things to be successful. You know, fix your teeth or wear your hair differently or dress differently or, well, she's too ethnic or not. She doesn't speak black enough. There were a million reasons why I wasn't making it in the beginning of my career. And that is exactly what we're talking about when we talk about the costume of unworthiness. Mm. Someone had handed a story, she wore it, and then she decided to take it off and just be the superhero that she is, which is Olivia Pope worthy.
Yes.
Right?
And handles it.
And handles it. And look how her stepping into her worthiness gives all of us a strong, confident woman that shines so brightly to inspire millions of people. Mm-hmm. So that it's so funny. It's actually the least selfish thing that we can do to step into our sublime worthiness.
Yes. Because at the end of the day, if you think there's some perfect body, perfect way to be in order to be and do what you want to do, and you're going to just spend all of your time and energy, if everything in the world is 99.9999% energy, you're putting all of that investment into trying to be something that you are not. Best case scenario is you're going to come in second place.
That's right.
But what if you put all that same energy into saying, what is my unique offering? Because every person is like a snowflake. We are all perfectly designed for everything that we were put here to do. And the world needs what we are here to offer. Otherwise, we would not be here to offer it. It's an actual universal law, the law of supply and demand. And so when we can start investing our energy into that focus, how am I my own superhero? How am I my own Olivia Pope? How can I use the inspiration of the actors and actresses and directors and producers, the people that I look at and I resonate with what they offer and I love what they do. How can I say, oh, that's because there's a seed of that in me that wants to develop, that wants to flourish. So my job is to keep going back in, and it's like that little like treasure chest. Like, how can I open the treasure chest and like let it all out to play? And I think that if we had the courage to stand for it, it's like you think of the people, like when Meryl Streep came along, she was the only one.
Right. She was the first one.
And everyone was like, she's never going to make it, that nose, that face, that whatever, and she's who she is. So when we can start celebrating our differences as the actual liberation of our art, then I think we really have something.
High five to that. Preach that. Oh, my goodness.
We like caffeinated podcasts.
I love caffeinated podcasts. We got caffeine, we got butterflies, we got Tony LaPage. Everything is right in the world. Superheroes, we love you. You are so incredible. Your superpowers are so incredibly needed on this planet. So let's all fly together.
And can you just imagine if when you're sitting on the subway today, when you're in that next audition waiting room, can you look around and see all the superheroes around you? And can you, what's the word, the League of...
The Justice League, the Avengers.
Like, can you see every actor in that waiting room as part of this team that is bringing art into the world at a time when the world needs it so, so much?
I feel that sometimes when I'm, like, at opening night for a Broadway show or, like, at times where I will see all of the, like, Broadway directors and the writers and the composers, I have that feeling of, like, we're it. We're the light team. We're doing our job. We are bringing these stories to life. And it is transforming the planet as long as we keep doing it. And there's so much light that needs to be brought that every single one of us is needed.
Yeah.
You know, and here we go and we do it together.
And isn't it an amazing thing if we can all take a stand, just like little mm-hmm. Asher did last night, and say, I just love seeing myself on TV. Mm-hmm. I just love seeing myself hit that high note. I just love seeing myself on that stage. And I just love seeing myself loving other people do it as well.
That's right. And in that world, there is no competition. It's only we're all on the same team together. It's so funny. Last night, we were doing power statements. And it's the same where every person comes into the middle of the circle. And do you remember what she said after she did her superhero? She said,
and we all rise together.
And so on those words,
let us rise.
As we step into our superpowers together, as we become the superheroes that we are, we all rise together.
Let's do this, guys. Thank you, Tony, for being with us.
Thanks for having
me. Thanks, Tony. You are a superhero.
Thanks, rock and roll.
All right, guys, we will see you next week.
Woo! If you want to know about the Create Workshop Series, you can go to
www.thecreateseries.com.
And if you want to know more about us, you can go to kristenhenge.com or
natalieroy.com.
And if you want to come to Create, you can go to
the Actors Green Room in New York City. And it is Sunday nights from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. and Tuesdays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m.
And their website is www.theactorsgreenroom.com. And you can buy Create on demand if you don't live in New York City.
Woohoo!